Grad-X Sports Podcast, episode 59. We are taking calls tonight, boys.
Yes, sir.
Joined, as always, by, please call him Coach and not Nick, Nick White.
And, I'm not that guy.
The fearless leader, Matthew Skinner.
I am not that guy.
I am Billy Lindahl. How are we doing, boys?
Listen, really quickly, that's a joke. For those of you that don't keep up with the SWAC and the HBCU conference, Coach Prime Deion Tom Sanders had his press conference this week, and here's the way it happened was someone addressed him as his given Christian name.
You want a role play here?
Sure.
All right. Hey, hey, Deion, I'm asking.
Oh, hold on. Let me stop you right there. Y'all ain't going to call Coach Saban Nick. You ain't going to call me Deion right here. Like, that's not all right. You know what? I'm out of here. Deuces. Prime time for life.
No, he gave him another chance. He gave him another chance.
And he left. Then he walked off.
Well, he gave the reporter another chance. Yeah. And then he said, okay Deion. But you didn't see that?
But
that
to
was,
be
that
fair.
That was the best part about it was the reporter was like, okay, Deion, what do you think about your football team? And that's when Deion got up.
To be fair to the reporter, I would have done the same thing. Like, you're not going to tell me what I can call you and what you can't. Like,
well, I mean, within reason, right?
I'm a yes man. I've always been a yes man, and I've always been respectful. I call you Coach, even though I consider ourselves great friends, best friends. I don't call you Nick. I still call you Coach White.
Term of endearment.
Coach. Coach is a great. It's a great thing. It's a great profession.
And it is. And it's. If I call somebody Coach, that is to me the highest form of respect, because a lot of people don't understand, you know, where the name derives from, right? Where it comes from. It actually comes. You guys ready for some history? It comes from. It's got a long line for the name,
but you're,
it's happening.
Shocking.
Okay, just. We'll just use random dates and times, but there was a vastness, a desert, if you will, and there were two cities on each end, and there was a bunch of crazy people that lived in the middle, and the name of that city translates into Coach, right, in English, and you would hire someone from this city to get you from one side to the other, right, from one city to the next, so from one place to the next, and you would hire a man from Coach or a coachman, right? Which is where you get stage coaches from. The guy that ran the stagecoach was a coachman, and it was his job to get you from one place to the next. It evolves into education, and it was their job to get you from one place to the next. And so if you are endeared with that term, Coach, it means something. It's not just, hey, I coach football or I coach wrestling. It is, I am trying to get you from one place to the next, whether that be mentally, physically, emotionally, what have you, academically. It's to get somebody from one place to the next. And if you've spent your entire life being one of those people, it means a lot when people see you and they call you Coach. You know, I'm coaching kids of kids that I have coached, right? And when those people see me in public and they call me Coach, it means something to me. It's a big deal. So I understand wanting to be called Coach. I've never taken a young person maybe that I've taught that doesn't call me Coach that calls me Nick as an adult, which is very, very weird, by the way.
No doubt.
But I've never corrected them. I've never said, listen up, bucko. You know, show some respect, because that's your choice. You know what I mean?
Well, it's always kind of in terms of endearment. Even when you have teachers in high school, you always call them Mr. or Miss.
Like, right.
For instance, even now as an adult, anytime I see Neil Ruby, I go, hey, Mr. Ruby. You know, it's always that kind of thing. It's
also that, how we were raised.
Right. Yeah. And yeah. That's a big
If I went up to you and said, hey, what's up, Nick? How's it going? I'd be slapped in the face by my parents.
All right. Let's get this out of the way. The Grad-X Sports Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Homemade Jellies by Cassie. Homemade jellies, preserves, and apple butter using her grandmother's famous recipes. Reach out to her on Facebook and make an order and be ready to order more. All of her customers are repeat customers.
Well, speaking of, I've got two wonderful tiny mason jars of apple butter and one of pepper jelly coming to me.
Yep.
We will be using it this weekend around the campfire. And as always, nom 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 nom.
Also brought to you by Blake Ginger at Century 21 Novus. You can trust Blake like Matt did with not only your home buying needs, but also if you're looking to sell. Reach out to Blake at 678-664-1400 or 678-416-8268. And our guest hotline, which we hope to use a lot tonight, is brought to you by Marine South. Under new ownership, Clay and Lindsay Harden are proud to serve the West Georgia and East Alabama area with the best experience and customer service around. If you're looking to buy or service your boat for the summer, let Marine South take care of you. Give them a call at 770-832-3330 or go visit them on Highway 27 North in Carrollton. Hey, I did it.
Yes.
Without a nailed. Hey. Was the goal for 1 week and the guy got it done. Well done, sir.
All right. Let's get this out of the way before we take calls. The Olympic gold is the ultimate goal for every Olympic athlete. Coach will explain what grapplers and countries have the best shot.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and get this thing kicked off. Guys, Friday night is the opening ceremonies, by the way, for the Olympics, which I love the Olympic Games. I love the Summer Olympics a little bit better than I do the Winter Olympics, but the Olympics are the Olympics. It's countries coming together to compete against one another. Obviously, wrestling being my passion, right? Something that I don't just hobby around with. Really love it, looking into that. Wanted to give everybody some names to keep up with over the Olympic Games, and just in case you get an opportunity to wrestle, give you guys some background on some people. Starting with our women's team, by the way, we have a full women's freestyle team. The girls are, this may be the best freestyle women's team we've ever put and assembled together. Sport's not been around very long. One of my favorites, though, with the smallest weight class, that's 50 kilograms, and by the way, since we're competing against the rest of the world, we're using kilograms because we're the only one that uses pounds. So we'll translate the kilos into pounds for us. But 50 kilos, that's 110 pounds. A young lady named Sarah Hildebrandt, she is tough as nails. Three-time world team member. She won the silver medal in the 2018 World Cup. Okay, so she has the opportunity to go down there and pick up a medal and do some good things for the United States of America. In addition to her, 53 kilos, 116 and a half pounds, one of the toughest women out there, Jakara Winchester. She is currently living at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. She actually is the 2019 world champion. So the last time that this was held, she walked away with the gold medal. So obviously the goal for her is to come back with the same thing. Now here's the interesting story here, 57 kilos, Helen Morales, okay, Sunkiss Kids. She is currently living in State College, PA, training with those Penn State guys. She actually won a gold medal in the last Olympics in 2016, and then had a terrible head injury that she's been battling with ever since. She just beat one of my favorite female wrestlers to be to claim this spot at 57 kilos. So she's kind of a wild card. She could go down there, she could win gold, she could go down there, not place, but she definitely has potential to get it done. Let's see, 62 kilos, 136 and a half pounds. Kayla Miracle, she's got her work cut out for her. She finished eighth at the 2019 World Championships. 68 kilos, another just complete and total beast from Texas. Tamara Menza-Stock, okay? Tamara Menza-Stock, 68 kilos, that's 150 pounds roughly. She is your 2019 world champion, 2018 world's bronze medalist. She's bringing home gold. You guys can count on that and check on it. And last but not least, on the women's side, 76 kilos, Adeline Gray. She's probably the most decorated female wrestler in the United States history. She is a five-time world champion, five-time world champion, sinking Olympic gold.
Can we pause real quick? Yes, and then we can talk about the guys.
Got the number where we
are. We're good. We can come back to it.
Okay.
We're going to go out to the phones on the Marine South hotline now, and let's bring in our caller. Hello, caller.
How's it going?
Good. How is it going?
John. Pretty good. It's John, the blind donkey runner.
Hey, John, what's happening?
Not much. So I've got four questions, and they're kind of random, but one, how do you guys think the acquisition of Jock Peterson affects the Braves going to the playoffs, if they make the playoffs?
I'm passing that to the baseball guys. No input here. Go, baseball team.
I think Jock helps, if at all possible, but I still think they need a lot more help outside of Jock. And Jock is definitely a Band-Aid over a major wound, so that's what I'm thinking.
I think that he is definitely a help. He's better than Almonte or Arcia. But at the same time, the Braves, the issue they're having is not really, yes, it's timely hitting, but it's the bullpen, it's the pitching. I mean, the bullpen's the biggest issue. They've got 22 losses. I think they've got 46 losses on the season and 23 losses from the bullpen. So if my math serves correctly, that's half of your losses are because of your bullpen.
Hold on just one second.
You checking that math for me?
Numbers check out.
Okay.
Numbers check out.
There you go. So until they get a bullpen, which we just walked in a run right now, so it's now 2-0. So yeah, there you go.
Good time.
For me, it's really simple. It's pitching. You've added someone. You've added a baseball player. He's not going to hurt. He will do nothing but help. Don't know how much, though.
I mean, I like him so far. He's done a great job. He seems to fit the team chemistry in the role. But as far as making the playoffs, playoffs.
Still a long way.
Playoffs.
What else you got, John?
So, what is the community vibe like with Joey King back at the helm of, or in the helm of Carrollton?
Let's pass that off to the Carrollton guy. We were just talking about this pregame.
Okay, I was actually going to pass it off to the alum. I'm not an alum, but that's fine. Yeah, no, I will tell you this. Everybody in the community is super excited. The players are excited. The community is excited. And here's the thing. I was not here the last time Coach King was coaching at Carrollton. But what I have learned from him in these last few months, I've got to spend some time with him, some one-on-one time with him. I've got to spend time, a little bit of time, with his wife and his children and the coaches that he has brought in. All of the buzz and excitement and all this stuff is absolutely deserved. The main thing that I could tell you about Coach Joey King is he cares about kids, right? And if you do that, the rest of it is really almost irrelevant. Obviously, he knows what he's doing when it comes to X's and O's, coaching at the college level. He knows exactly what he's doing, X's and O's, but he cares about kids and he cares about detail. Every little detail is going to be held to the Carrollton standard or it's not going to be done. I'll share one quote for you to kind of let you know how he plans on getting things done. He told, it's a great quote, and I'm going to use it from here on out. He said, "Coach, if you want something done, you need to demand it. And if it doesn't get done, then you didn't demand it." Right?
Mm-hmm.
One more time. Coach, if you want something done, demand it. And if it doesn't get done, then you didn't demand it. So he is an intense, passionate guy, but he loves kids. And yes, there is a huge buzz in the entire community about Coach Joey King being back here.
Well, when we talked to Joey King on the podcast a while back, he said he wanted to get the little Carrollton footballs and put it in at the hospital.
That's not just a thought building. That he's had. That's something that's going to happen.
He's going to demand it.
Coach King is awesome. He was great to play for. He was but a better person off the field. I mean, he's a guy that one of the main reasons, and he talked about it in the GPB podcast I listened to earlier this morning, you know, the college, he loved the college part, you know, getting to coach those big-time guys. But you're not around your players all the time. In high school, you get to be around your players literally all season long and actually build relationships. And that was something that was so important to him, and that's kind of why he – I think ultimately came back to the high school game to get back as being a head guy and being able to grow kids.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I don't think I would have anybody else coaching my son than Joey King.
High praise.
Question three. Who was going to be, you have the top teams, Callaway, Carrollton, Freeman. Who was going to surprise somebody this year in the 9-team area from you guys?
Surprise. Well, so it's a great question, and it's probably not a great question for us because I feel like we have a great pulse on our teams, right? I feel like we know. So I don't know that any of us are going to be surprised, but maybe.
I'll give you a team.
Go ahead.
Heard County.
You're going to be surprised by Heard County?
I will because they've lost so much. They lost Cheap Orders, they lost Drew Cornelius. They had a lot of injuries last year. They got a new coach in Coach Lassiter. They got a new offensive coordinator in Jake Yates. So I truly think that they're going to surprise some people. A lot of people think, especially with how good Callaway is going to be, how good Harrelson County is going to be, and how good Bremen is going to be on paper. I mean,
so go ahead, Billy.
I think Mount Zion's another team.
To piggyback off of what Matt was just saying with Heard County, I think Villarica might surprise us because of the talent that Villarica had last year, and they were going up into a new region and trying to figure things out. When you have Tim Barron, we learned this last year, didn't we, Coach?
That's
you
correct.
You do not count out Tim Barron at all.
Don't do it.
Now, granted, you know he's in a different program and he's got different talent around him, but I truly believe in Tim Barron and what Tim Barron can do in building a program.
So I completely agree with Billy. As far as Heard County is concerned, I know they've lost a lot, but I never had them outside of the playoffs. And I know we're not doing our official picks or anything like that, but I still had them in the playoffs in that region. I love Billy's pick with Villarica because of the region. Guys, that region is winnable. I don't mean Villarrica makes the playoffs this year. That is a region that they can win the entire thing and go into the playoffs as a one seed. It's a very winnable region. I think when you couple that with the fact that you got a guy that knows what he's doing, he knows how to coach, he knows how to win, he knows how to be successful and change the culture of not just a football team, but a community. I really like that pick as a surprise pick. And just to be different, though, from those other two guys, I know Mount Zion has been mentioned. I really do like Mount Zion this year. I really do. It's another year of consistency with that coaching staff. It's another year of working out. They're getting a couple of athletes that are going to grow up and be a little bit older. And they had a tremendous season last year, in a season where not everybody kind of expected them to be great and to be worth anything, and they were very good.
And they added Malachi Ackles.
Yeah, that's what I was just about
to say.
They've
got an addition.
Adding Malachi
Ackles. That's right. So those are three teams, I guess, that you could look and keep an eye on as far as surprises go.
And my final question. In the Olympics, I had to bring up wrestling, you know.
Well, you know, funny thing.
My guy.
Funny thing, man. We were just talking about the Olympics and wrestling before you called, and Coach was basically handicapping the women's side of things. What you got on the Olympics?
I'm just going to bring in the broad subject of who should we watch out for.
Okay, great question. I was actually running through the entire team, but here's what I'll do on the phone segment, and then I'll go through the guys that I think have the potential to medal, and then once I let you go, we'll cover the rest of the guys on the team. But I'll start with probably, you want to talk about surprises and upsets, and when we mentioned this last week, enjoy this. Just sit back and enjoy this, fellas. Treat this like basketball, okay? Because that's what it's like for me when we talk basketball.
Matthew, push the weight.
Yeah. All right. Starting at 74 kilos, all right, which is about 163 pounds, we have Kyle Dake. And we have someone different at this weight class for the first time since, I want to say, 2012, might have been 2013. And Jordan Burroughs, who may be the GOAT of USA Wrestling, obviously gets replaced by Kyle Dake, who's just, I mean, he's younger. I mean, you get a little older, but he is a two-time world champion, even though he hasn't represented us at the Olympics yet. I definitely think he can walk away with a gold medal. At 86 kilos, which is about 189 pounds, that is David Taylor. David Taylor is also a 2018 world champion, had an injury, didn't compete in 2019. One of the best wrestlers in folk style history in the United States of America. I think he has the opportunity to pull home a gold medal. One guy that I'm going to sound crazy to wrestling people, that I'm not sure how he's going to do, at 97 kilos, Kyle Snyder, Captain America, coming back. He is an Olympic champion, graduate of the Ohio State University, Billy, but won the 2016 Olympics, is a two-time world champion. He won it in 15, won the Olympics in 16, and then won the Worlds in 17, and has not been on the back of the top of the podium since. Now, there is a Russian at that weight class that it may be the pound-for-pound greatest in the world right now, and he's got to compete with that guy. I'm looking to see Kyle Snyder get back up and get on the horse and go. And here's who you need to watch, okay? John, this is the guy you need to watch. Matt, this is the guy you need to watch. Billy, this is the guy you need to watch. At 125 kilos, 275 pounds, 21 years old, Gable Steveson. By the way, who is named after Dan Gable. That's where his first name, Gable, comes from. He's named after Dan Gable, iconic coach and wrestler, Iowa Hawkeye, Iowa State. He's 21 years old. He came in this year to the trials and absolutely demolished every grown man that was on the ladder. He beat the guy that's been representing us on the world level for the last, I think, 4 or 5 years, and it wasn't even close. This guy, when he comes back from the Olympics, is going to tell us whether he's going pro in something or going back to college. He's either going to go WWE and make some money. He could play NFL football. Guys, he is an absolute hammer. So I'll look for him to immediately, as a 21-year-old, and he will be the most exciting, I think, American to watch, because he is an athlete for someone that's 275 pounds. So those are your four guys that I think out of our crew that can come home with a gold medal.
And as he mentioned, this is John McKay of the Blind Donkey Runner podcast. If you go listen to him, he's had several of our teammates on, including myself and Matt. Soon, he'll probably have Coach White on. But thanks for calling, John, and we appreciate you tuning in every week.
I appreciate it. I love what you guys do. Y'all keep it up.
Thanks for calling in, John.
Y'all have a good one.
You too.
All right, Coach, and let's get back to the Olympic talk real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, John, for calling in, because I love talking wrestling, and I know he's passionate about it. So that's over half of our Olympic team on the freestyle side. 57 kilos, we have not been very good at this weight. Thomas Gilman, former Iowa Hawkeye. He is a world silver medalist in 2017, but you know, again, that's 4 years ago just about now. Hopefully he can come down and win some matches for us and get some things done. And so that is the men's freestyle team in its entirety. And then there's the Greco team. I'll call those guys by name. We typically are not as good at Greco as we are at the freestyle, but Ildar Havizov, okay, he is part of the Army World Corps Athletic Program, okay, the Corps of Cadet Athletic Program. He represents us at 60 kilos. Alejandro Sancho, also in the U.S. Army Corps Athlete Program. He's representing us at 67. John Stefanowicz, who is on the All-Marine wrestling team, and that's at 87 kilos.
So he shouldn't lose.
Who's that?
The Marine guy.
The Marine guy? Well, unfortunately, we're not. His highest, I guess, achievement here, he is the 2020 Pan Am champ, which is good because that means he basically won the Western Hemisphere in regards to wrestling, Pan America there. So he does have an opportunity to go in and upset some folks, but typically – we're not as great at the Greco stuff on the west side of the globe. But he's a Marine, like you said, so he might as well just go in there and win the whole
thing.
Wait,
on the west side of the globe, is that kind of like going north on 27 above Rome? You know,
No. That doesn't mean you're getting cheated.
I was just making sure.
You can't cheat in wrestling. They catch this.
Well, people have done it. People have done it. Lastly, 97 kilos, G'Angelo Hancock. Wrestling at 213.5 pounds for us there. So, and you have to qualify certain weights, and we didn't qualify all the weights and this, that, and the other. But we do have an opportunity to do some things in women's and men's freestyle. We can win the wrestling portion of it, so to speak. We could be those world champions because the guys that we have there are pretty doggone good. So I'm excited about watching the opening parts of the Olympics. I'm excited about watching the sprints. I don't know. What's your favorite event to watch during the Olympics?
Handball. Handball, badminton, ping pong. I like all the...
Table tennis.
Yeah. I like all the...
Stuff you can buy out of a
exactly.
box, you know, and have
exactly.
a nice picnic with.
Exactly. Because, like, I can watch... soccer anytime I want. I can watch basketball anytime I want. I mean, I can only watch badminton. It only comes on every 4 years.
That's like. You're not wrong about that.
I'll say this, though, and maybe it's just the baseball nerd in me, but I love watching Olympic baseball because it's not including Major League Baseball
players.
It takes
a different turn.
It is
turn.
Completely different. Culture. And it's.
I am looking forward to the 3-on-3 basketball they added.
Yeah, I mean, I see that at a lot of church picnics and you know, backyard barbecues and things of that nature. Now, I really do like them all. I like gymnastics too. I know it may sound crazy. I love watching. They do some freaky,
super
amazing
talented.
Athletic stuff.
And
Simone Biles, we got the goat.
Yeah,
so
she's fantastic.
USA, deal with it. Swimming events and the sprints, man. Those things are just fun to watch.
All right, the Major League Baseball trade deadline is 9 days away, and the Braves are still under 500. I'm actually surprised at what Matt thinks we should do.
Why, you're mad because I think we should buy? Because I'm a fan and I want to win?
It's not mad. I'm surprised at it. I'm surprised that you think that we should go in and buy at the trade deadline.
Well, I think that we should try to attempt to make the playoffs while we can.
Do you?
And the only way that we can go to the playoffs is by buying more bullpen guys. We have so many prospects that will... have obviously not seen the light of day to the majors and probably never will. So why not give it away? Why not give them away and get you some bullpen pieces?
Let me ask you a question. Okay, and we had this conversation. Well, I kind of had this conversation with Coach, and he kind of threw shade at me last week. Is the goal to make the playoffs or is the goal to win a championship?
I mean, the goal is to win a championship.
Do you think this team is constructed to win a championship, even if we add a piece or two?
No, but
okay.
What do you have
then
to
why
do? You
do you
get
have,
in the
why
dance.
Go into it?
You have to get in the dance, and anything can happen when you get in the dance. If you don't pay your prom dues, you can't go to prom. But if you pay them, you can at least go.
Might not have anybody to dance with.
Might not have anybody to go with or dance with, but you can go.
So personally,
I just want to go to the dance. Give me a chance.
Yeah, I'll
find the
anything
girl.
Anything can happen.
I'll get the girl when I get there, maybe.
Right. Anything can happen once you make
Says
it to the dance.
Says the person who's been on one first date in his life.
Hey, I'm batting speaking of baseball, I'm batting 1,000, baby.
Can't strike out on that.
I'm batting 1,000.
No strikeouts.
One for one.
I have to go to bed. It's over with.
It's over with.
Turn out the lights. The party's over. No, I mean, the number one goal is to win the entire
you
thing.
You play to win the game.
However, comma, you may not have a team that can win the entire thing. That goal becomes to be the best that you can be, right? Example, the Atlanta Hawks. They played as good as they could. I feel like they made the Atlanta fans proud of them. Matt mentioned he actually saw Atlanta fans in the building, which has not been a thing with Atlanta. They didn't win the thing. They were not good enough to win the thing from the beginning of the playoffs. I don't think anyone thought that the Hawks could win the whole thing. But they did the best that they could. And what this does is it may make somebody who's a baller look at Atlanta and go, hey, wait a minute. This is not a hopeless situation. Maybe I want to go there next year, right? Maybe I'll work in a deal to go to Atlanta. Not that Atlanta will ever spend the money to buy these guys. But it becomes a little more attractive. The Braves have a brand, guys. They have a brand that they win pennants. And that's why players don't mind being traded to the Braves. That's why players don't mind playing for the Braves. That's why players like Freddie Freeman says, I want to retire as a Brave, because it does mean something. Atlanta still has a brand. I don't know when it comes to dollars and cents and contract extensions. I'm not the guy to talk to, but I do know that it is your job as the management team, whether it's field level management or it's upper level management, to put the best product on the field that you possibly can every single time that you step out on the other side of that white line.
I will say this. The Braves are a little more handicapped because of the Ozuna thing. They are.
Yep.
The contract, because they're still, unfortunately, paying them. They're still paying them, and that's money that they can't afford to spend. Now, can they go out and can they make some moves and spend money?
Right.
Yes, but
I wonder if they can spend some money and expedite that trial so that he can go ahead and get convicted, and then that money can leave the cap.
Well, here's the thing, and I know we're getting off topic with this, but they're back living at home with each other, and everything is all good.
That's because contract money's on the line.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
Money is on the line, and unfortunately... it's been a very frustrating year.
Sure.
I mean, and I think, you know,
we're sitting, we had the expectation of this was going to be a World Series team.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did.
And we are sitting here on July 21st that the Braves have never played a game over 500 this year.
And the
that's,
crazy
that's
thing
terrible.
Is, they're
that's unreal.
And the crazy thing is, they're only 3.5 games back. But before today,
four.
But they're
and
only four
it's not
games
looking good
back
for the second game. Either.
Well, yeah, but they're only four games back in the division, and they have like 5 games coming up with the Mets next week. So they have a puncher's chance. There's still 65 games left to go.
Right.
Which just is painful because I don't want to keep... We went through some tough things, guys. I don't know about y'all, but after that 2013 year, we went through just 4 gut-wrenching years of the Atlanta Braves. And y'all are used to the bad Braves more than I am. But those years of 2013 was bad because we had what I thought was a World Series competing team, and they just underachieved. And then 14, we stunk.
And then Freddie Gonzalez decided to not let Craig Kimbrell come in on the most.
Yeah, yeah. The Braves were done. The Braves were done for a while after that instance. We won't go back there, but it's just tough. You not only do you you struggle, but you lose the best top 5 player in the league in Acuna,
mm-hmm.
and we don't know his availability for next year. I mean, you never know. ACLs they can heal in 8 months. He could be good to go, or it could take a full year.
Right.
So.
And if I'm Atlanta, I'm taking that entire year,
yeah,
letting him heal.
I don't risk it. And Jock, and the way Jock Peterson's playing, we might sign him back for
bring
next
him
year.
Back, man.
This is a nice test run for next year. If Jock Peterson's a guy, because you know Drew Waters and Pache, but they could be good trade pieces. I know that Pache is the future. I know Drew Waters is the future. But we've been talking about those guys. I feel like for 5
Pache
years.
Has to hit.
Yeah.
And we talked about this last week. He can't hit the broadside of a barn right now with an oar. It's he ridiculous.
He couldn't hit water if he fell out the boat.
Right. So it's just I'm to that point where I don't think we need to be buyers.
It's my fault I bought season tickets.
I don't think we need to be sellers either, though. I think we stand pat.
No, there's no such thing.
I just looked at him when I said that because I knew it was going to irk him.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Jeez, but deep down, that's what I'm saying to myself. Man,
I guess that's what people do when they have to explain things. Like, they used to write children's books like, do you know how a zebra got its stripes? It was playing in a tar pit one day. That's what people had to do back in the day to explain things to themselves. Nowadays, we use other methods like scientific theories and proven things.
And so, Jesus Christ.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, there are things that happened, and then there's things that we couldn't explain, so we just made stuff up. So if you need to do that, then you do that, man. If that's how you find solace, then go right ahead.
We're going to take a break real quick before we get any further into this conversation.
No. Let's keep going. I like this. This is fun.
We'll come right back after we hear from the David Brock Morning Show.
Hey, everybody. This is David Brock from the David Brock Morning Show on B92 Country. We want to invite you to join us every Monday through Friday on B92 for the David Brock Morning Show. All the news, info, weather, and whatnot to get you going. Plus, you know we're going to crank those tunes up to get your day started right. You can find us B92, that's 92.1 on your dial. Tune in app by typing in WBTR in the call letters or B92Country.com, streaming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, wherever you are. Come join us. It's the David Brock Morning Show on B92 Country.
Our thanks to the David Brock Morning Show. Dave is just a great dude.
He's a delight.
He is, man. I've got one more topic, and I know that we've got at least one or two more phone calls that have told us that they're ringing
off the hook. They're having a hold right now. That's how hot it is to get in on this show.
I'll tease this real quick before we take the call on the Marine South hotline. Trojans fans, I'm here to temper your expectations for this season, if only slightly. But let's get out to the Marine South hotline and we'll take another call. What's going on, caller?
Nothing much. How about y'all?
Hey, it's Judah White. I know that voice.
I'm about to get that kid's parents.
Judah, what you got for us today, buddy?
Since we have high school, you know, like little post things, I wanted to ask, who do you think will have the best record around this area this year?
Ooh, best local record in the area. That's a tough question because we haven't done all of our preseason homework stuff yet, you know, and looking at brackets.
Well, we're really going to start breaking that down next week.
After next week, yeah, because next week we're going to be doing the Media Day podcast, which, and then the following week we'll probably start doing our previews. But
so we can go unofficial this week.
Yeah, we can definitely do unofficial. Matt, if you could pull up that
the schedule,
that would be super helpful.
Look at Johnny on the old spot right there.
With all the color coding and everything.
Yeah.
That's impressive
right
there.
Can you tell I'm very organized when it comes to football stuff, everything else? I'm just, yeah.
Guys, we are first class here at the Graddock Sports Bunker.
I'll kick it off. For me, you want to talk about best, as far as best records go, I think you got to look at Bowden. I think Bowden has the best chance to get the most wins.
I'm going to slightly disagree with you on that.
I think Carrollton's up there. I think Bremen's obviously up there. They have a very easy non-region schedule.
I agree
besides
with that.
I say easy. They got at Bowden, they got Pepperell, they got Darlington, but they'll kill Jackson, they'll kill Clarkson, they'll kill Landmark. So that's three wins.
But they've got Callaway at home, and I'm pretty sure they've also got
Hurd at home.
Hurd at home. So that's going to be helpful this year. I'm going to go Carrollton. I think Carrollton, even the tempered expectations that I mentioned in our tease, I think Carrollton will still end up with probably one of the best records in our area.
Coach. Are y'all including playoffs too?
I'm going regular season.
Okay, that's what I'm doing. Regular season.
I was just doing total wins.
Yeah,
period.
Total number. So like 11-2. Okay.
I think those three teams. I think Bowden, Bremen, Carrollton probably are your three guys.
Here's what I don't like for Bowden's schedule. And listen, I'm as high on Bowden as anybody else. I think they have a great shot to make a deep run in the playoffs, but they are playing, you know, Bremen, which is a rivalry game, which can go either way. They've won one recently. Bremen's won one recently. Bremen's tough. And then they're also playing at Harrelson County and then bumping it up and playing that Heritage team as well and North Cobb Christian. That is a tough non-region schedule for Bowden. And so they may be in the same boat they were last year. They may drop a couple of games, then make a run at winning the whole thing by the end. But as far as total number of wins, I wouldn't throw them out there. I like Bremen's non-region schedule. I don't think Pepperell will be as good as they were last year. Landmark, I think, is easy for those guys. I think the toughest non-region game they have is Darlington, personally, for me. That's just me throwing that out there. So I like Bremen with total number of wins. And here's one I'm throwing out there, total number of wins. Villarrica. Villarrica. Non-region, okay, opening up at Pope, which is a large school, but not a great football tradition. They've got Temple, which is Temple streaking, but, you know, Villarrica is a larger program.
And Barron knows Temple very
well. Yes, he
does.
He's played them once or twice. At Northgate, which we watched that. We were at that game last year. I didn't think Northgate was that much better. Local rivalry with Central, and then they're playing Grady, Chapel Hill, North Springs, Lithia Springs, and then finishing it out with
Elite Jackson. Villarrica can easily win 8 games.
Yes, I think that's what I'm going
to
go.
Maybe even, heck, I think they have a chance to win every single game that they play. And we have not been able to say that about Villarrica in the past.
In a while, yeah, I agree with that. So I'm going VR for now.
Anything else for us, Judah?
Also, SEC standings. Who do you think will win the SEC, like in the West and the East
Bama
combined?
Oh.
Okay, both overall. Divisions and then overall. All right.
I'm going. It's going to be chalk for me. Bama and Georgia. I mean, that's just the two that looks best. LSU has got a very talented team, and I think they're going to bounce back this year as opposed to. Last year, but they're still not as talented as Alabama. And the same on A&M. Excuse me. Dear Lord, I can't talk, and I'm supposed to be doing this for a living, guys. A&M is the same in my mind as LSU. I think they're very talented, but they're just not on Alabama's level, and I think Alabama ultimately wins it. Auburn's not going to do anything against Alabama this year, and I did point this out to you guys through text this week that for the first time in I don't know how long, Alabama actually has a conference game the week before the Iron Bowl, and I that's something that blew my mind because that's always been a cake day the week before, and then all of a sudden you've got the Iron Bowl. So
well,
that's different. Georgia on the East only because Florida's not there. No offense to Emory Jones and anybody else in the East because there's nobody else in the East that's really gonna. Well, okay. Here's a dark horse for second in the East. Kentucky. And I mean, that's really my only thought.
Stoops is a good coach.
Stoops and Kentucky, I think, can probably get up to number two in the East.
Matt?
Georgia, Alabama. Georgia.
That's my guy right there.
I mean, I'm not picking against Georgia.
Dang right, baby.
Even if I know they're going to lose, I'm not
going to
pick against
them. They're not going to lose. What's that sound coming down the track? It's a mean machine in red and black. And, boys, let me tell you what. There are two blue bloods left in the SEC. There are two rosters full of thoroughbred athletes, and that is the University of Alabama and the University of Georgia. And they are on a collision course for the SEC championship. And if Georgia can get by Clemson in week one, go ahead and write it down. Both of those teams will be in the playoffs. That one of them will be the one, the other one will be the four, and it's either Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, because those are the two best rosters in college football this year.
It won't be Clemson.
I said either one of those three. Clemson can go 11-1, win the league, and still make the playoffs.
Are they going to win the but if it comes down to this, and I want to pose this question. I know, Judah, do you have anything else for us, buddy, before we get into this other matter?
Not really.
All right, Judah, we appreciate you, buddy. I want to pose this question.
Love you, bud.
Love you, Judah. You the man.
Love you, too.
I want to pose this question to you while we're on the topic because Judah brought it up. If Clemson's the ACC champs,
yes,
and they have one loss,
mm-hmm.
Georgia's the SEC runner-up.
Okay.
They have one loss.
Okay.
Georgia over Clemson?
I mean, it would have to be. If Georgia is Clemson the loss, it would have to be,
I
you
agree,
would think.
But do you think they'll take the ACC champ over Georgia being the SEC.
I wouldn't be surprised one way or the other what happens. I wouldn't be surprised to see them both in there. I mean, you know, it will depend on what Oklahoma and Ohio State do. And guys, I'm not poo-pooing on anybody's team. Right now, those are the teams that are vying for a spot in the playoffs, okay? If you like a team and they get there, that's one thing. But right now, outside looking in, those are the teams that are vying for a spot in the playoffs. If Oklahoma drops a random game like they normally do, then I could absolutely see Georgia and Clemson in there.
All right, let's get back out to the Marine South Hotline, and we're going to take a caller, and we've got Matt from North Carolina, and I hope to God this is the Matt that I'm thinking of. Matt, are you out there?
Well, there's only one Matt in North Carolina that listens to us.
We don't know that.
But we don't know he's the only one that listens to us. That's a bunch of schmegma.
I am the Matt in North Carolina.
There it is. First off, before you have any questions for us, before that, congratulations on another dub for your Tampa Bay Lightning. That was a big thing, even though you know you took an L today for the Tampa Bay Lightning. For those of you that do not know, today was the expansion draft for the new Seattle Kraken NHL franchise, which they had the expansion draft tonight, and then the regular draft is on Friday night, and also the NHL schedule is released tomorrow. So I'm this week has been super busy, and Matt lost one of his favorite players. He was texting me very, very, very upset today. But what you got for us, Matt?
Yeah, there wasn't much a way around that. Kind of knew it was coming. I told you we knew it was coming. I told you who it was long before it was made official. I still don't know that it's been made official, but it was who we thought it was. That sucks. But, yeah, well, I'm a second championship cup, and life's pretty good right now. Also,
and a win. And a win on Sunday. Yeah, That's a big thing.
Pretty big weekend at the racetrack.
More importantly, he got ice cream.
Yeah. For the first time in I don't know how long.
Dude, it's been a minute. I posted on Facebook, you start to take it for granted. We won like 27 races in 3 years. And then to go from October of last year was our last win to July of this year. I mean, it was a drought that I didn't know if ever. I began to wonder if it was ever going to end. But here we are, back in victory lane.
Well, way to keep chopping wood, man. Way to keep chopping wood. You guys got it done.
Hey, champions adjust.
That's it. Yes, sir. Yes. That's why he's my guy. That's my guy.
So I did call in for a question with you guys. Billy gave me a heads up, and I've been thinking about it. So we'll get off of me, and I'll answer my own question, but we'll go around the table first, and y'all can answer as you think of it. Keeping it sports-related, but more in a personal manner, you know, you guys do a great job of being professional and covering in a very professional manner, but I want to ask kind of a personal question so maybe some of the listeners can hear something they haven't heard from you guys before.
Oh, dear Lord.
Catch you off your game. Hey, I said we'll keep it sports-related, Billy, so no worries. I want to know, you guys have to excuse me, I just ran 3 miles. I'm on my cool-down lap, so
nice.
Out of breath a little bit. I want to know the story of the coolest / most memorable / most special sports memory that you witnessed in person. There's no stipulations other than you had to be there to see it with your own eyes.
That one's tough. You guys got one you want to lead off with? Why don't you go first and give us some time?
In person, meaning at the game?
Yeah. You saw it with your own eyes live in person.
Oh, dear Lord.
You were there.
Why don't you start for us, Matt? Give us a second to think.
All right, I'll be happy to. Although I'm going to start with the top, so you're not going to top my story. Fair warning. June 20th, 2010.
I know where you're going with this.
Where was I, Billy?
You were at Turner Field.
I was at Turner Field, and what did I see at Turner Field on June 20th, 2010?
You saw a walk-off grand slam.
7-run ninth inning comeback, walk-off grand slam.
You were at the Brooks Conrad game?
He was, man.
I was at the Brooks Conrad game.
No!
Dude, I saw it with my own eyes. I knew it was a home run before Brooks Conrad knew it was a home run because of the view that I had. I was sitting, so let me set this up for you. I'm sitting about 6 rows back from the fence in right field. Jay Bruce is playing right field for the Cincinnati Reds. We were heckling him all game. He was really cool about it. It was with heat index. We're talking close to 120 degrees in the direct Georgia sunlight. It was a noon, well, not a noon start time, but it was afternoon start time. The paid attendance was like 21,000. So you're talking about Turner Fields, just only over like a third full. And Tommy Hansen started that game and got shellacked.
R.I.P.
yeah, R.I.P. Tommy Hansen. Don't do drugs, kids. Tommy Hansen gave up the Reds actually hit a grand slam in that game. Joey Votto hit a home grand slam in the second inning to give the Reds an 8-0 lead. Most of that 21,000 wasn't interested in sitting around in 100-plus degree heat in a June afternoon. I wagered a bet by the time the ninth inning rolled around, we were down to just over 3,000 fans in the entire stadium. But I was one of the 3,000 sitting directly across. So Conrad's grand slam went out to left center, and I was sitting right center below the chop house, if you guys remember the geography of Turner Field.
We do. And, well, I do.
Yeah, so I was basically looking straight across the outfield at, I don't remember who their center fielder was, whoever's glove it hit off of and hit the green wall behind the padded wall at the TED. I saw it hit off the glove and the green wall, and I was screaming. I didn't even realize that Brooks Conrad didn't know it was a home run because I was watching the ball. And I knew it was a home run, and I started celebrating. I mean, it was nuts. I was giving strangers that I've never met in my life hugs. This was the time before COVID when you could do that. It wasn't frowned upon. But yeah, I was at the Brooks Conrad walk-off grand slam game, one of the most iconic moments in probably Atlanta sports history.
I don't doubt it. I'll never forget coming home from school. I used to go over to
that
my...
Was, I think that was a month after Matt graduated from high school.
No, it was still in school. The week I graduated high school.
Oh, was it?
It was the week I graduated. Yeah, it was senior skip day, actually.
Well played, Ferris Bueller.
I was coming home, I don't even know what I was doing. I was, I feel like we were still in school.
I think I was in Chicago when that happened.
Because I came in to my grandparents' house, because when I was a freshman, I obviously couldn't drive, so... I'd go hang out at my grandparents' house. They live right by the school, and my dad would come pick me up after school. And I was like, they turned on the game. This was before I had an actual phone, too, to keep up with the game, so I didn't know what was going on. And I saw that we were down by, of course, 6 runs or whatever, and we came back and won. It was just incredible.
That's a good one. Absolutely incredible. It's a good one.
The story I'll share, my senior year of high school, and I wish I could tell a professional story, but obviously I haven't been to a game where – a lot of great stuff has happened.
Me too. Like, I literally am racking my brain thinking about it, but
The two Hawks playoff wins were great this past year. But as far as like lifetime, like Matt mentioned, beating Marist at Marist in 4 overtimes, we pretty much had dominated the first 2.5, pretty much most of the third quarter, getting ready to go into the fourth quarter. And all of a sudden, just came the biggest storm. And we were under a weather delay for an hour. And it was like the best thing that could happen because we were gassed. We had lost all momentum. We came back out, and we ended up winning the game 46-44 in quadruple overtime. Sam Turner, who had 27 tackles in the game, him and Dontavius Russell stopped their quarterback from scoring on the two-point conversion in overtime to win the game. And we stormed the field. I was actually calling the game on the NFHS network stuff. I signed off the quickest I've ever signed off ever, and I sprinted down to the field, hopped the fence, and we were just going crazy at Marist. But that's definitely my my best memory.
That's awesome.
What you got, Coach?
I've got a couple. I mean, I've got to filter through several seasons as a coach, as a player. Let's see. As a coach I've got a couple. I remember, I believe it was 2009, 2010 wrestling season. I'll give you a wrestling and a football. How about that? I was at Bowden. I was coaching at Bowden, and we were able to beat Bremen for the first time in school history at the sport of wrestling. We beat them in a duel, and then the next year we beat them for the area title, and that was huge because at the time Bremen was a top five program in the state, regardless of classification. And we pulled off some really big upsets in that duel, and it was probably the greatest thing no one ever heard of because it was wrestling. But man, it was. Our kids just went out and executed and did such a tremendous job against a world-class coach and program. But that was big. But not a lot of people are going to know the details to that. I was coaching at Bowden, and I say coaching loosely. I was on the sideline on a Friday night. It was early in my coaching career, and we were down to Tryon big, a region game on the road. We scored a touch, and we'd been down the entire game. Guys, I kid you not. We were down, I think we scored to put us down two scores. And we're inside of 3 minutes. We kicked an onside kick, recovered the onside kick, scored a touchdown, put us down by one score with about a minute left, executed another onside kick and got a second onside kick, scored a touchdown, tied the game up. We stopped them four straight plays in overtime, scored on the first play, got on Highway 27, and brought it back to B-Town. So that was a great high school game. Here's one. I'm going to give you a memory here. I know you asked for one, but I live multiple lives, okay? I've got all this stuff going on. Most memorable thing I was a part of happened at Taylor Memorial Stadium. I was a junior or a sophomore in high school. I think I was a sophomore in high school. And Harrelson County was playing Bremen. I played, obviously, at Bremen. And we were at Harrelson County. And it was a close game. It was a tight game. Sometime in the second half, there was a delay for maybe 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 minutes because the officials had to figure out how to proceed with a penalty on a particular play. And it took them forever. And so we're about a minute or two of silence. And then, and this guys, I'm telling you right now, that place was standing room only. The all stands were full, people around the stadium. And after about 2 minutes of silence, the home crowd, the Rebels, they started getting loud over there. And I remember me and the rest of the, we were on defense, and I turned our stands and we started waving our hands in the air. And those jokers got up. That was the loudest I have ever been at a high school environment. And both sides just yelling at it just to see who was going to win the yelling match for it seemed like 2 minutes. You know, just the long. I mean, I get goosebumps thinking about that. But that was a moment that I'll never forget. And as far as Georgia's concerned, I was in the building when Aaron Murray outdueled Zach Mettenberger and the LSU Tigers and were able to pull that thing out 44-41. When Aaron Murray hit Wesley Scott down the sideline and beat the cover two right there. Sanford Stadium was as loud as I had ever heard it prior to Kirby Smart. So that's my 18 that I gave you. Sorry, man. I know there's a lot.
October.
No, I like them all.
October 12th, 2001. That was my highlight.
October 12th.
Is this 12th. Central over Carrollton?
The last okay. time Central beat Carrollton okay. in football.
The and last it was, time ever.
Yeah, it was. It was 12.
Not Ohio State winning a national championship.
You said I had to be in the building.
Oh, yeah, he wasn't right. there. Wasn't there.
So I was actually in the building. I was actually in the stands marching for Central. So that was 12-0. I will never forget that game because that came after the year before. That
was the Freaky Friday.
The fifth down game that we got told, yeah, you're going to march after, and then the fifth down happened, and they were like, yeah, it's not safe for y'all to be out here. So that was mine.
That's an awesome question, by the way, because like I'm filtering through 25, 27 seasons worth of, you know, being directly involved with stuff. I mean, now I'm starting to think about those kids.
That's how old I am.
Yeah, shut up. I'm starting to think about those kids that were on that Bowden team. Man, that might have been one of my. Y'all are mean, man. Y'all are just mean. Just mean.
I turned 26 in 2 months, Coach.
Congratulations.
And you know that because we have the same birthday.
We do have the same birthday. Just celebrating it in different decades. You know? that was a great team. Brandon King won the state title for us, and he helped me install some floor a couple weeks ago. Matt Spruill won the state title off that team, and he's getting married here in October to a girl that was our MAP manager, right? Taylor Cowart, he's marrying her. So, I mean, that's awesome right there. You're seeing these guys grow up. J.J. Wizachinski was 6'1", 102 pounds, and pinned a kid from Bremen that was a two-time state champ to help us win that duel over Bremen that day for the first time ever in school history. 6'1", 102 pounds, walking stick bugs, what everybody called him. And, you know, one, I mean, just so many kids on that team, you know.
That doesn't even sound healthy to be that.
Well, I mean, that was natural for him. It's not like we asked him to do it. He just literally walked around like that, you know. Kurt Yates. Kurt Yates comes out there and pins another kid that was a two-time state champ with a head and arm. Like, we had some guys that just went to war that day. And, they, you know, Jesse Hilton, I mean, Steven and Jared Strickland, that was a great – 10. There's kids I'm going to miss naming, you know, Jordan Loveless, you know, just we had some really good kids. They are. They're going to be, listen, y'all need to understand, man. I put up, I've got that t-shirt still, okay, from that year of area. I mean, the Moths are probably going to have a field day with it at some point in time. But every single one of those kids just bought in, man, and had never had any success as a team, you know, and as a program. Had a couple state champs, but as a program. And, man, they really went out there and turned that thing around. We were pretty doggone tough. That was a good group. I'm glad you asked because that brought that memory back.
Anything else for us, Matthew?
No, I'm going to go get some supper. You guys are doing a great job. Y'all keep up the good work, and I'll be looking forward to this episode coming out.
Man, I appreciate you.
Just for you, I'm going to post it tonight as soon as we're done.
Hey, I'll take it. I'll listen to it on my run in the morning. I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good one. Take it easy.
You
Thanks,
too, bro.
Matt. That was our buddy Matt Ridgway on the,
Marine South Hotline.
Thank you. All right, I teased this earlier. I got to complete the tease and we'll move on from there. Carrollton fans, temper your expectations, guys. I know they had a fantastic season last year that ended in the quarterfinals. You had a very, very talented team. Temper your expectations. I'm not saying that Joey King is not going to be the coach that you guys think he is, because he is. He's every bit of the coach you guys think he is. But you're also moving from one program to another, and that's going to be a big change for not only the kids, but for the coaches. And they're going to have to learn how things go. Carrollton, brand new Carrollton Trojans head coaches. The last four are 2-2 in their opening games. And the two losses, one of them, I think, was against Noonan. One of them was against Krim. And granted, it's been a long time, but still, temper your expectations. It'll be okay. You're still probably going to win against New Manchester week one. But don't anticipate a 60 burger. Or,
let's not forget,
you know,
about the loss to Kel that opened up the Ed Dudley era.
That's right. Yeah, it was Kel and Krim. That's right. And they faced Noonan, and Noonan was the other two wins. But and Noonan's week two of the season.
Yes.
Too. And if you don't think Noonan football is going to be fired up this year after the tornado, guys.
Well, not just the tornado. I don't know if you remember, but, you know, Carrollton was supposed to play Noonan last year, and that game was canceled the day of due to COVID issues, right? Due to COVID issues. And so I know there's some folks in Noonan getting ready to play that game for sure. You know, I mean, if you look at it, you look at last year's team, of which a lot of kids did graduate. I mean, great, great kids graduated from that team last year, you know. We lost a lot of kids, and you know, South Paulding in the region, that was a four-quarter football game.
Right.
You know, Alexander did not turn out the way it should have, right? We got beat by ALX last year.
Everybody knows why we lost that game.
Well, right? I mean, we lost the game, period. We lost the game. Rome's never a team that you're just going to walk out there and roll the football out and go win the thing. So, I mean, there are region, and Douglas County is always going to have some guys. So, I mean, just the region alone should temper your expectations a little bit. And then I'll tell folks, and just in case you don't know, we're doing some things different as far as scheme is concerned as well. I mean,
and that's going to be a change for the seniors and the upperclassmen that are so used to what Calhoun has done that you're going to have to learn a new system and learn everything else. And that's, you can lean on the seniors and the upperclassmen all you want to, but you're basically, all of you are square one right now with Coach King.
And the offense won't have to do as much different, I don't think, in my opinion, because, you know, it's still a spread philosophy. Defensively, though, we're incorporating some coverages that probably hadn't been around in a few years.
And offensively, it's going to be pretty much the same.
Yeah, it's going to be very similar.
It's just going to be different name calling of stuff, different hey, instead of Romeo, it's going to be Juliet. I mean,
well, and I think you
like
might
that.
See a little bit more hurry up, yeah. You know.
And
personally.
The good news is for Carrollton fans, you have 6 home games.
Yeah.
Okay, out of 10. So the 4 away games you've got is Dalton. You've got a neutral site game in Rome, which isn't really neutral, but I mean, it's neutral.
Neutral. It ain't a neutral
that ain't
about
a neutral
that.
Site. They're playing at Barron Stadium. That's their home.
It's technically listed as neutral. Mm. Paulding County and Douglas County at the end of the year.
Who lists Barron Stadium as neutral?
The historian's site.
That is where Rome has played high school football for.
I know,
it'd
but
be
still,
like
it's
Callaway
listed.
Stadium being a neutral site.
For Callaway.
Technically, it's not on campus, so that's why they probably call it neutral.
Well,
because I bet they
list it that way, too, because multiple teams play at Callaway Stadium.
But that's Dalton, Rome, Paulding County, and Douglas County are the 4 away games. And I think those having ALX at home, East Paulding at home, South Paulding at home is going to be key, especially trying to repeat as region champs.
And catching a little bit of a break, too, because Dalton has been a very scrappy organization. Their coach retired last year.
Coach Land.
Yeah, right. Catching a little bit of a break. I say catching a little bit of a break right there. It'll be a new coach, even if it's somebody that was retained from the previous staff. It'll still be a little bit new and a little bit different. So catching a little bit of a break there, too, which is good. Go Trojans.
Yeah. I think that's it, man. I think after an hour of taking calls and talking about
awesome phone call. You know what? I forgot to ask them all. What would you like for us to ask a local football team? Guys, listen, if you are listening to this podcast and you didn't get a chance to call in, please, please, please send us some of your information next week, right?
Yep.
Next week.
So I've already lined it up. I know Coach and Matt will be on the main stage for Media Day. I will be off stage doing podcast stuff, which is going to be fun.
Yeah.
You know, Coach was with me all last year because Nathan Horsley was on the stage last year, but mm-hmm. Coach got the call to the big leagues, so he's going to be on the stage. Josh Stitcher, new teammate Josh Stitcher, is going to be joining me on the podcast next week.
Fun.
So he's going to be with me for the majority of the time. So be sure to listen to him and the questions. He's so fired up. I asked him to join me, and he's so fired up to join.
He's going to do a great job, but please send us your stuff, guys. If you want to send it on Twitter, if you want to send it on email, however you want to send it. If you have a question for your favorite high school football program's coach or one of their players, send it over. Depending on the content, it'll either get asked out on the big stage or it'll be asked on the podcast, one of the two, as long as it's appropriate. So if you want some information,
Goofy questions are going to get asked on the podcast.
Yeah,
so I can tell you that much right
ask
now.
Them what their favorite walkout song would be, whatever it is you want to know. Send that to us. That'd be at SkinMan. Is that an underscore 77 at Billy Lindahl? And there's an H in Lindahl, and it's not Lindale, it's Lindahl.
Lindahl.
And then at WhiteNick20. Send us stuff on Twitter. There's a Discord thing that I think Billy uses now. At least I know the name of it. You can send us questions there. I know some of you guys are on Discord. The Facebook, right? Drop the and just Facebook.com. You can use that.
The Book of Face.
Call up here to the radio station. Give them something to do during the week and say, hey, I want this question asked.
Sure. Before you close, Billy, since these coaches have sent in their players' names, I'll go ahead and read them off.
Awesome.
For Coach Smiley's Central Lines, Daniel Phillips, Jackson Burns, Evan Vaughn, and Jacoby Allman. For the Carrollton Trojans, Keyshawn Ridley, Terrell Carmichael, and Justice Ricks. And then Coach Finley, he's going to be bringing 6 kids, but only, of course, 4 of them are going to be able to talk on stage. I cut that number because I figured you can't have the whole team up there speaking. Robert McNeil, Gage Stevens, Blake Whitman, Tanner Langley, Andrew Hobson, and Charlie Prater.
Most of those are seniors at this point, or senior laden.
McNeil's a junior.
And I think
Blake, I believe, is a senior.
I think everybody else is seniors except for McNeil.
Yeah.
Crazy. McNeil's been around forever. And he's got
And
he's got one more year left after this one. So
every time I hear McNeil, all I can think of is Casey Bass saying, I want a McNeil bobblehead.
Yeah. That call about the bobblehead in the game, the run that he had where he said he's just a video game.
Yeah.
He's impressive. He's impressive.
Yeah. That's it for episode 59 of the Gardeck Sports Weekly Podcast. For the coach, Nick White, and our fearless leader, Matt Skinner, I'm Billy Lindahl. We'll talk to you guys at Media Day next week.